Welcome, everyone, to another episode of our podcast series, Public Procurement Leaders. As you all know, the goal of the series is really very simple: to learn from leaders that are driving transformational change in public procurement and broadly the public sector market. So we have spoken to a number of leaders, both from public and private sectors, chief procurement officers, program executives, and we'll also be speaking to political leaders and more as our show continues. We have learned experience and also, more importantly, apply that experience, hopefully within our organization, so we can continually deliver more value to all our stakeholders. So today I'm really excited about our guest, who I've known for a long time, Alan Thomas. He is the Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service with U.S. General Services Administration. For some of you that may not know the USGSA and Federal Acquisition Service, that's the largest buying organization for the U.S. federal government, where professionals across GSA work with agencies to help them procure goods and services across everything you can imagine, and including with U.S. states and cities that can access many of GSA services. Alan, welcome to the show.
Raj, thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you. And you're right, a long time. Makes me feel a little bit old. I don't know about you, but
I think we're all getting old. So for the audience, just briefly, Alan and I have known each other. We actually had the opportunity to go to grad school together at Carnegie Mellon, and then we ended up working at the same company called Free Markets, which is a first reverse auction company that was then acquired by Ariba. So we had the opportunity to work together, and we've, of course, kept in touch. So it was nice to see us cross paths again when Alan took on the role of commissioner. So Alan, by way of background, really has an amazing background, both having worked in private and public sectors. So that's, I think, a huge asset right now in his role for everyone that is in the government and for the country, honestly. So Alan has worked both within defense and civilian and also in private sector companies leading many large operations. So Alan, welcome to the show. Let me just jump in here and talk about, you know, how you got here, first of all, and about your role.
Sure. So again, thanks for having me, Raj. So let me talk a little bit about the role first, because it was when I was first approached about taking the job, I've actually talked about a few different jobs at GSA, and this one was definitely the most intriguing and appealing to me. As you said, you know, we, as the Federal Acquisition Service, we help government customers, federal and also some state and local, acquire over $50 billion worth of products and services every year. So we have a huge impact on procurement in the public space. And we have about 20,000 industry partners or suppliers that we deal with. So we obviously have a pretty big impact on the private sector as well. So just that breadth of the mission was really appealing to me. There are a little more than 3,000 people within the Federal Acquisition Service, about half of them in Washington, and then half of them deployed out in the 11 regions that GSA maintains across the country. And we have probably 50 or 60 folks deployed internationally as well within the Federal Acquisition Service. So that, you know, the number of people, the scope, and all the things they touch was really, really appealing to me. And, you know, as we said at the beginning, we've known each other a long time. I like to say we knew each other back when procurement wasn't cool, and then it became cool. And, you know, for me, it's kind of always been cool throughout my career. So this seemed like too good of an opportunity to pass up, to come in and serve the country again, my third stint in the government. It's something that I believe in passionately. And I do like kind of going back and forth between the public and private sectors, and think there's a lot of value there. But this, you know, this opportunity, like I said, seemed too good to pass up. And it's been great so far, right? I mean, great people, really interesting challenges to work on, and a kind of cool time to be in government where acquisition and technology are intersecting. There's a really nice bipartisan consensus to try and get some things done around acquisition and IT modernization that, you know, that we're playing a big hand in.
Great. I think there were something there. I think you said bipartisan, which is sometimes hard, but hopefully this topic is an easy one, and the intersection of technology and acquisition. So maybe, you know, that's a segue into my next question. What are your biggest priorities? GSA and Federal Acquisition Service, as you described, is a very large scope and plays a big role in helping the mission of the government. So how are you really prioritizing and making sure there's kind of focus and impact there?
Yeah, so I spent a little bit of time, obviously, when I, you know, when I first took the job, I just did a lot of listening, right? I mean, it's a big organization, big impact across the government. And so I thought the most important thing to do was to come in. I've obviously got a, you know, came in with a set of ideas and beliefs and thoughts. But I spent a good bit of time, probably my first 6 months or so, doing a lot of listening. Started with the workforce. So, you know, know what the folks, know what's on the mind of the people within the organization that you're leading. Then went out and talked to the agency primarily that we're serving within the government, and then spent some time talking with industry and other stakeholders, you know, folks on the Hill and, you know, some overseers and some folks within OMB that we work with to think about how to prioritize what we're doing. And you're right, it's broad, right? I mean, we're, you know, on any one day, you can be working on IT procurement, you can be thinking about technical issues around two-factor authentication and delivering a solution out to the government there. And you can also be dealing with the world's largest charge card program, the Smart Pay program, and thinking about the government-wide fleet program you manage, which has a couple hundred thousand vehicles under management, right? So it's a really broad set of business areas that we're in and programs that we run. So in thinking about boiling it down and how are we, you know, kind of what's our contribution to the mission of government, I came up with just a fairly simple tagline of trying to be easy, efficient, and modern. So trying to make the Federal Acquisition Service easier to work with. A couple areas there we're focusing on. One is improving the systems that our employees use to serve our customers and work with our industry partners. And then also just making some of those programs simpler. So for example, the schedules program, which is, you know, a very large buying program that is somewhat complex. So we're spending some time thinking about how to make that simpler and easier for customers to navigate and understand. Efficient really is focused on the shared services that we deliver or shared solutions that we deliver across the government. So I mentioned the fleet program, which is a great example of a shared solution there. We manage about a third of the entire federal fleet centrally here at GSA. The Smart Pay program, the charge card program, where we have over 3 million individual account holders is another example of a shared solution that we deliver across the government. So really thinking about how to do those things, do them well, and you know, apply technology to stay current and be delivering great service at a low cost to our customers. And then modern, there are really three planks that we're working on. So one is around the president's report on IT modernization, which was issued in January. There are 50 recommendations contained in that report. GSA has either the lead or a hand in 25 of those 50 recommendations. There are the centers of excellence, which is being led by our technology transformation services team under Joanne Collins-Smee's leadership. So that, you know, that's an important initiative, working in concert with the Office of American Innovation, where we're, we're building a center of excellence, and working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture as the first agency there. And then the last area is the Technology Modernization Fund. So the TMF is a fund designed to provide some dollars out to agencies who are looking to modernize old infrastructure and then take some of that savings back and sort of recycle it in a revolving nature. The fund was passed as part of the National Defense Authorization Act, and the administrator of GSA, Emily Murphy, appointed me as one of the seven board members to sit on that fund. So we've had couple meetings to date and are making good progress there. So easy, efficient, modern are the sort of taglines I use to characterize what we're doing and what our priorities are.
Great. Well, and that's a short list, but also a comprehensive and a lot of big things going on in there. One common theme, as you talked about this, Alan, easy, efficient, modern, I saw systems and technology across a number of these. You talked about systems internally. You talked about the IT modernization, the tech modernization fund. So that really brings me to the next question, which is about technology and acquisition, the intersection which you mentioned early on. What is the opportunity you think that technology presents in improving procurement and acquisition in terms of delivering value ultimately for the mission and to all stakeholders?
So we're just like any organization, we're always thinking about how we would apply technology to better meet our mission. So in this case, it's, you know, how do we better serve our government customers, and how do we provide good value in interacting with our industry partners? So, you know, there are some simple things we can do. So you talked about internal systems. One of my observations when I went around and did a tour of all the regions when I first got here, I went to all 11 regions within the first 5 months, and I did a lot of listening, a lot of town halls, talked to a lot of frontline employees. And one takeaway I had from the quality of this that our people are using are not on par with the quality of the people. And that has a big impact, right? It has a big impact on our customers and our suppliers. So there are a number of old custom systems, you know, COBOL-based systems that our folks have to use every day to establish contracts, modify those contracts, take orders from customers, manage the assets within the organization. So I put a big focus on modernizing those systems and thinking about making them much simpler, more intuitive for our folks to use. In the theory being that if you take care of your people, provide them with good tools, they'll take care of your customers, and, you know, good results for your organization will follow. So that internally, that's a big focus. You know, externally, we have a lot of talent within the organization. So I mentioned our technology transformation services team. There are a lot of folks on that team who come in from the private sector on 2-year terms, and a lot of interesting expertise that we are trying to inject across the government to help the government be a really smart buyer of technology and be a good manager of technology-based projects. So I think there's a lot of value that we're providing to customers there. With respect to that, you know, we're also thinking about what I would call emerging technology. So we've got a group in one of our regions who's looking at the use of robotic process automation and how to apply that to some of the more routine tasks that a contracting officer does, and be able to free that contracting officer up to think a little more, to be a little more strategic, right? Spend some more time on some higher value activities that are probably more interesting to them. We've got a group looking at distributed ledger technology also, and running a small pilot on our IT Schedule 70 program. So we're looking forward to seeing the results of that. And then, you know, we're doing some things around e-commerce portals that were directed in the National Defense Authorization Act. There's obviously been a lot of news coverage around that, but I think that, you know, that's another area where technology, the buying experience of our customers, and I think will be, you know, will be a boon for us in servicing those customers.
Great, great. I think definitely I'm familiar with a few of these things. I think, you know, one question I have, just having gone through a lot of transformational and change initiatives, can you talk about the intersection of tech and change from a standpoint of what do you think are some barriers from your perspective that you see, and how are you managing them when we talk about all of these different things, whether you're talking internally, right, changing some of those systems? By the way, I don't think I've heard the term COBOL in a long time. So, or you're talking about, you know, externally, changing, putting in e-commerce portals or blockchain technologies. What are kind of the change issues you see, and how are you managing those? Because I think everyone grapples with those, so I'm sure we can all learn from that.
So, mentioned listening, right? And that, you know, when I first took the job, I went on a listening tour. I think that's really important. If you're going to change things, even if you're going to change things and make, you know, give somebody a tool that's better than the tool they're using today, people are inherently a little bit skeptical of change, and for many folks it makes them uneasy. So I think a great first step is to go out and listen and really understand what people's issues and challenges are. And then they, you know, that starts to make them feel like they're part of the process. So, you know, you don't do change to somebody, right? You do change with them. So I think that's a key concept. And then this idea around continuing to communicate with folks, and, you know, you hear, oh, you know, change management's important. It is important. And I think it's important from a government perspective. I think it's important for the organization that's trying to change, you know, a set of systems or a process to really be the owner of that change. So we can get help. We can get help from our industry partners who have expertise in that area and communicating with our people. But the owner of change has to be the leader or the leadership within the organization. And, you know, we talk so often about, oh, we need to bring in a commercial off-the-shelf solution, right, and put that down, and then bend the, I hear this term all the time, you know, bend the organization to the commercial off-the-shelf solution, right, so you don't pay for customization, those kind of things, which I agree with, but the process for doing that, you know, involves a lot of communication, a lot of touch with people, and something that we've done internally for a couple of the big systems areas where we want to make changes. We've taken a really respected, long tenured frontline employee, and made that person sort of the face of the change, if you will. Right. So it's got leadership backing, but then, you know, the folks on the front line who are going to actually have to deal with the new system, they see somebody who looks a lot like them and who knows their day to day as the actual champion of the change.
That's great. I really like a couple of the points you've, I think, reinforced since we started talking today. Communication, listening, involving your people. So those are all great lessons, and I do think sometimes they're shortchanged, or they're a lot of lip service. So kudos to you, I think, for bringing that type of leadership and driving these initiatives forward.
Raj, something like this podcast is a great opportunity, right? To reach some of our folks too. You know, when you have 3,000 people and they're spread out all over the country, and some of them in different parts of the world, you know, one of my big frustrations is I love doing business face to face, and you just can't. You can't always meet face to face with 3,000 people, right? So things like this are a great way to get the word out, get the message out, let people know what you're thinking, and then, you know, hopefully get some feedback from them.
Yeah. And I would say, no, that's a great point. I'm actually, as I mentioned, I'm in India right now recording this podcast. And, you know, and part of the reason I think kudos to you again for 6 months, you said, you know, for listening and meeting people. And that's really important. I think while we can distribute, you know, these podcasts and technology, but also, you know, the part about face-to-face you mentioned and all the time you've spent, it's really important. At the end of the day, technology will never replace that. So again, thanks for taking the time to do all of that, because it's a huge time investment, but I'm sure it's paying dividends already. Let me move to the next question, which is, you know, you mentioned when you were talking about stakeholders, you talked about, you know, at the end of the day, GSA sits in the middle, Federal Acquisition Service, facilitating in different ways transactions, whether it's advice or actually in contracts or transactions between government and industry. And, you know, there's been issues over time that, you know, what government officials are allowed to do in terms of communication, some frustrations on the part of industry. Can you tell me a little bit, or tell our audience, you know, what can be done from your perspective to improve not just communications, but relationships between government and industry? And why is that important?
Sure. So I think, you know, the government procurement process can be a little bit formal and stilted, which sometimes can be a barrier to effective communication between folks in government and folks in industry. So I think taking advantage of early opportunities in the process to have a lot of interaction between government and industry is important. I know at GSA, We spend a lot of time doing outreach, RFIs, industry days ahead of any sort of formal acquisition process, which allows us to get a lot of input from industry, gather some good ideas. You know, we learn a lot from industry, right? I mean, those folks are the experts. So there's a lot of good value to be gained. We do conferences, we speak at conferences, we attend conferences, we hold our own training events where we bring government and industry folks together. So in 2020, we hold a national training event, should be sort of late spring, early summer, where we're hoping to bring all of our customers, all of our industry partners, and some key folks from GSA, like many of our contracting officers, together to create that interaction. You talked about face-to-face. We do think that's important. There's a ton that can be done with the technology, but there's no, for somebody in the industry, I've heard, hey, there's no replacement for me being able to meet my contracting officer, shake his or her hand, and have a 10-minute conversation with them about business, but also just to get a little better sense of the person. I think that the idea of knowing a whole person and what's going on in their life and is important to building a relationship. Like I said, personally, I did a lot of listening when I came in here. I think GSA makes a pretty good effort to do a lot of listening to our industry partners. When we go about making rules like the order level materials rule or the commercial supplier agreements rule, we open around those rules, and we got a lot of great input from industry, and we changed some of our thinking. So what came out as the initial rule there and what ended up as the final rule changed because of the input we got from industry and the listening we did. E-commerce portals, I think you've seen the same thing, right? We, in January, early January this year, we held an open forum and had a couple hundred participants in person and another 200 or 300 participants online, received 80 some odd comments afterwards. And that, that all has gone to inform our thinking around how we're approaching that.
So Alan, that's great. And all the different engagements, I've definitely been to a few of those. And it's great that GSA, as well as people across the government, we know a lot of good people that are pushing this method. So hopefully we're starting to see, hopefully a sea change. Small business and especially emerging companies, you talk about emerging tech. It's challenging, frankly, right, to navigate the complexity of the government procurement process. It's very costly. It's costly to fill out I've been in that boat, filling out very long, lengthy proposals, which larger firms may be able to do, but smaller firms aren't able to. So could you speak to, especially from, let's call it emerging companies, what are you doing to attract more emerging companies and make it easier to do business with government?
Yeah, so good question, since it's Small Business Week here in the U.S. for the U.S. government. So within GSA, we have a couple of specific programs really targeted at one of our schedules, our largest schedule, IT Schedule 70. One of them is the Fastlane program, where we have created small companies, be able to get on schedule much more quickly. So we're processing orders there somewhere between 30 and 45 days, which is significantly better than previous timelines. And we've seen a couple hundred businesses take advantage of that so far. Nearly all of them, about 185 or so, are small businesses. So we think that's positive. Now, one question I had when I came in and I heard that was, well, that sounds good. Could we just do that for everybody? Right? Yeah. Like, well, hey, get in this special line. That's the fast line. Everybody else get in the slow line over here, right?
Yes.
So we're working on part of that, under the easy banner, thinking about potentially consolidating schedules and streamlining the process there is leveraging some of these great things we've done in individual programs for certain schedules, and bringing that to, bringing that process across all of our schedules, right? Because again, hey, Raj, you can get in the slow line and the fast line. Which line would you like to be in? I like the fast line. So that's one program. Another program we have, again, it's focused on IT 70. and this is targeted at young companies, right? So companies that don't have the 2 years of corporate experience that is normally required to get on schedule. So we've put a series of items in place where those companies can, you know, demonstrate they have use the experience of individuals in the company or some other qualifications to get over that 2 year corporate experience requirement. And we've seen almost 40 companies utilize that. Nearly all of those companies have been small businesses. So a couple good things there. You know, some other things that we're doing in that area that I think folks might not know about, but probably would be good is there's an outfit within DoD called DIUX, which is really DoD's interface to Silicon Valley. And we've struck up a partnership with DIUX. They use what's called other transaction authorities, which is a non-based procurement method. And we've been working with DIUX to help them when they're ready to bring some of those technologies they've been working with to a wider market. GSA has been working to be the contracting arm that helps do that and helps give those companies access to the wider market within DoD. We've also been working with the SBIR program, Small Business Innovative Research Program, and helping make phase three awards there when technology is ready to be commercialized. So in addition to those internal programs, we're also partnering with external agencies to think about how to help small and emerging companies get mm-hmm. access to that mm-hmm. that wider federal market.
Well, that's a bunch of very great initiatives, and I'm definitely familiar with many of them. So that's great. I think that's a great news for emerging for companies, and you know, as part of our mission, definitely to open up government. We definitely see that. And so thank you for kind of pushing that forward. Let me just transition to the last couple of questions here. Again, you know, I mentioned up front, you bring a wealth of experience and knowledge. And we always love to hear, you know, leaders like yourselves, what advice you have for others in terms of just really, you know, accelerating their own growth, as well as the things they can do as they grow their careers to deliver more impact. What advice do you have for all the amazing procurement professionals we have across government at all levels?
So, you know, this probably, some of this advice would apply to everybody, but some of it I think could be specific to procurement professionals. So just in terms of, you know, advice that would apply to everybody, I would say be flexible, be adaptable, be open to learning new skills, particularly today when we see that, you know, the pace of change is so much more rapid than it was, you know, really even when I took a job as a presidential management fellow coming into government, and I worked in the Pentagon, right? 1994, I was in the Pentagon, and, you know, Netscape wasn't a company yet, right? People didn't have internet access. I mean, we had an email system. It was the old mainframe-based Dream system from IBM, right? So just, you know, in between that time and now, right? Think about how much the world has changed. And if you were resistant to new technology or new ideas, would have been pretty easy to kind of find yourself on the outside looking in. In the job market. So just, you know, be flexible, be adaptable, be open to learning new skills. I think for procurement folks, that's particularly important. Technology is changing every profession. It's definitely going to change the procurement profession. I think there's a real opportunity for technology to free up procurement professionals from some of the, what I call kind of turning the crank type things. That are much more strategic and that add a lot more value to an organization. So there I'm thinking about things like using tools to do some data analysis to help develop a great pricing strategy for the organization, or using some tools to really gain a deep understanding of the supply base and what's happening with the markets that those suppliers are operating in, and then using that knowledge to help the organization get a great deal, right, for itself and for its customers. So it's exciting, and I think it's an opportunity for procurement professionals. But again, when you talk about change, that gets people a little bit uneasy, right? So that's where that flexibility and adaptability and openness to learning come in.
Great. Well, that's some great advice there. In terms of, I think, the flexibility and adaptability and openness to change, because I've also personally seen, Alan, that, you know, may know a lot, but I personally think operating from an ethos of you really don't know anything yourself, right? And it makes you more intellectually curious and want to learn more. So in kind of the same vein of advice, then what's your advice for suppliers that are already serving government or who want to serve government? Because we know that that's really important, that we attract, just like talent, we attract the best suppliers and give them the opportunity to work with us in government. So what's your advice to suppliers?
Yeah, so this is a good question. I mean, you said, hey, you approach the world like you don't know anything, and I do think that's good advice. I feel like I know a little bit about this one only because I've been on the outside trying to do business with government for, the bulk of my career. So, I think there are some things that are fundamental to working with any potential customer. You know, there I'd start with understand what's the problem or the challenge that the customer has. How does your solution, your service, your product, your combination of product and service help that customer solve that problem or meet that challenge? Too many times, I think, people sort of come in and they want to tell you all about their stuff, and it's that's great, right? But really, that initial set of meetings with the customer should be where the industry partner talks 20% of the time and the customer talks 80% of the time, so you can develop that understanding and then, you know, build a solution that meets the need. So that's, you know, sort of generic. In terms of being specific around the government, there are actually a lot of resources available to folks out there. So there's a lot for doing business with the government through GSA, which we think is a great channel because it's a central channel that allows you to really access anybody in the government market. There's a good bit out on our website around how to get on multiple award schedules, the roadmap, the welcome package, and some things targeted to certain types of groups that we attract into our program, like women-owned or services-abled veteran-owned businesses or just small businesses in general. We do a lot of, we do a lot of industry days. There's a lot written about procurement in the public sector. Hey, listen to this podcast, right? It's a great example of something you can do to get a little bit smarter about how to do business with the government. And there are a lot of events out there as well, conferences and things like that, which I think in general are useful. There are procurement technical assistance centers or PTACs that are maintained by GSA and DoD out there. So there are a lot of resources available in the public sector for folks to take advantage of who want to do business with the government. There's legwork involved.
Yes.
But I think government does a good job of running a fair, open, and transparent process. And for companies that have good solutions that meet the needs of the government, there's ample opportunity to bring their solutions to market.
I would second that, and I would also recommend to suppliers that, you know, all the different sources, resources, etc. It takes a little bit of time and learning. But there's, once you get in, right, there's a lot of opportunity to really help and on important missions. So it's really meaningful work as well. And we'll definitely make some of those resources available through our site as well, just so more and more people have access to all the great resources that have been put up. Well, Alan, any closing thoughts for our audience?
I would say thanks for the opportunity, Raj, to talk with you a little bit. Always good to connect with colleagues and get the message out. It's an important space, right? One I had a boss one time who said, if you want to know what's going on in an organization and get control of an organization, you should go to the procurement shop, right? Because how an organization spends its money will tell you a lot about what its priorities are and what's happening in the organization. So I think that, you know, that rings true in a company, and that certainly rings true in the government.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Alan, for taking the time, and we look forward to hopefully having you on in the future again. Thank you.
That'd be great, Raj. Thank you.